That's through the second grade? Through the second grade. Been a long time since I've been in there. We are grateful that you're in the Lord's house with us today, and I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans, the fifth chapter, Romans 5. If you... We've moving things around just a little bit. That's a really good pity patter if you didn't know it. That's indications of the new church. Those that'll be taking over here one of these days. And we got a crew of them. I hope they straighten up between now and then. We've got a crew of them. Romans 5, we'll be having a baptism service at the end of this service after the invitation time. And so I hope you get the most out of that. The Lord has told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And when a person has been saved, when they come to know Christ as their personal Savior, that next step in their Christian walk is to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And so we have a couple that are doing that today, and we're very grateful for them. Romans 5, and we'll begin reading with verse 1. Reading through verse 11, let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word, and you hang on to that and follow closely. The Lord has something to say to your heart in this passage of Scripture. Now they tell us that when we see a therefore, we look to see what it's there for. And so we're going to see why this is here. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations.
Really?
That we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely, or perhaps, for scarcely for a righteous man will one yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that what? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. Our Father, as we come before your throne of grace and mercy, and Lord, this service has been bathed in prayer, and we've prayed over it several times, and we've heard our men pray over this service time right now. We've got moms and dads and boys and girls listening to this sermon, listening to this scripture today. And Satan would do whatever he could to try to keep that seed from landing in rich soil, in a heart that would actually do something with it. So God, we pray that Satan would be bound. We plead the blood of Jesus upon this place. We just pray that the demons would be held back until that decision can be made by that person. And God, that your will would be done in people's lives today and change would forever take place. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Now, the main part of this message is going to be covering verses 6 through verse 11. But I want us to do a quick overview of those verses that come before 6, 1 through 5. There's 3 points that I want us to underline and get apart, take apart these verses. First of all, in verse 6, I want us to understand that you and I were without strength to save ourselves. Absolutely, you cannot save yourself. You cannot do anything to be saved. You can't do anything that will bring God's mercy upon you without Jesus Christ. Your part in the salvation is to call on Jesus because He's paid your sin debt. In verse 8, I want us to understand that we are sinners. I don't know that a person can be saved still thinking of themselves as a pretty good person. Have you looked in the mirror lately? I mean, really, at your life? Have you seen the reflection of your life? This is the mirror, by the way. And when you look in this mirror at your life, when I look in this mirror at my life, I find myself extremely in need. I am a sinner. And I'm without hope without Jesus Christ. I'm desperate for Him. I wouldn't be able to do enough deeds if good deeds would save you. They won't save you. But I wouldn't be able to. I am a sinner and I'm without hope. And then here's something hard. Enemies to God. Now, it was not hard for me to come to realize that I was God's enemy. Because of the thoughts of my own heart and because of my lifestyle. But for some people, it's hard for them to come to a place to realize that without Jesus Christ in their life as Savior, that they are the enemy of God. If you are not saved yet, are you hearing me? If you are not saved yet, you are the enemy of God. And you said, oh no, that's not right. Well, that's what the Scripture says. It's not something that I made up. It is what the Scripture says. That before we are saved, we are the enemy of God. You see, there is this battle that is going on between us and God in our lostness. And God is reaching down in His mercy. And He's trying to pick us up out of the miry clay and out of the awful pit in our lostness. It is God reaching down to us, and He sent His Son to die on the cross that we might have eternal life. But we're rejecting Him and we're refusing Him. And then that day that we did, like what happened to Paul on the road to Damascus, and he had witnessed the death of Stephen, and Stephen had stood there before them, and Paul watched the coats of those that stoned him to death. And Paul saw something in Stephen that he said is different than what I have. And he had religion, but he didn't have Jesus.
And you may be here today and have your own religion, or you may have something that is substituting for that religion. But Paul didn't have Jesus. And Jesus, when he spoke to Paul, he said, it's hard for you to kick against pricks. I mean, I've been gouging you. I've been moving you along. You've been seeing in these Christians that they have something that you don't have. I tell you, church, we need to catch on fire so that the world will see something in us that they do not have. When we act like the world and talk like the world, put up a show like the world puts up, the world's not going to see anything in us that they won't. But when we go to responding to our situation the way that Jesus would respond, the world sees in us that they do not have and they won't. When I see somebody that's fired up for Jesus, I want a little dose of that. And not someone that's putting on some kind of show. Look at verse 1 and verse 2 of Romans 5. Peace with God.